Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You missing that sweet swing? If pain is holding your golf game back, you must check out the full simulator at the Lafayette location of Laborde Therapy. PHL Nation, I have one simple favor. It's more important than a subscription or like or anything like that, because Laborde Therapy Center, they're up for the Best of Acadiana Best Physical Therapy Clinic Award. Click the top link in the description right now for them to win, baby. Go vote, and you can win up to $250. Yes, Laborde Therapy. Our coverage wouldn't be possible this year without them. Link is in the description. And also, if you're in the need for anything physical therapy, book today, LaborDeTherapy.com. Single one of you are going to like. Her name is Daily Joy, and she dropped the take of the century earlier this offseason. That was a smooth at all.
I'm not Brian Kelly's biggest fan. I don't keep that a secret. I was very much against the hire.
Why were you against the hire?
Because he has experience not being able to win when it really matters. And if we want someone that can win but doesn't win when it matters, we could have saved some money and hired James Franklin.
Guys, I don't know why you're acting like that.
I did what Brian Kelly asked me to do. He said judge him after 3 years, and I did it, and I was not impressed with the product. With that being said, I feel like...
So, Daily Joy joins us here in 30. She's got a new brand. She's a friend of the channel, and I love her. Like, literally, one of the best first-time guests we have ever had. I will never, ever, ever, ever put a bad guest here on PHL. Okay. Now, I agree with everything that she said. I don't dislike BK maybe as much as she does, but I see this pretty often from my viewers. And I'm getting to the point now where I feel a good chunk of you are starting to dislike BK more than you disliked Orgeron. I don't think you disliked BK now more than you disliked Orgeron at the end. It's just Ed won the natty and gave us 2019. And Brian Kelly has not done that. We've not been to a playoff yet. So it's to the point where if Brian Kelly were to lose versus Clemson, it will be official that you guys dislike him more than you dislike Ed Orgeron towards the end of his tenure. And I would even go as far as saying more than you dislike Les Miles at the end of his tenure. Now, you can't compare eras. I do believe it was easier for those two to win than it is to win now in the SEC. I've shared 1,000 different rants on that very subject. But here's a fun thing about sports. I feel as if, compared to other fan analyst kind of YouTube channels, not necessarily with LSU, but just in general, I give you objective analysis while at the same time keeping a fan atmosphere, wearing LSU stuff with an LSU background. We live, die, and breathe with this team. But those are all excuses. In the grand scheme of things, you can only come up with so many excuses for a man that has been given quite a bit. Yes, it's harder to win in the SEC. Yes, NIL is a new forefront in college football. No one really could have predicted what the portal has done to this sport. There's a lot of things that have changed since Brian Kelly took this job. But at the same time, if you would have told most coaches, hey, your tenure is only going to feature first-round quarterbacks at LSU, if you don't make a playoff in any of those 4 years, it's a disappointment. It's a disappointment. It's just there's no other way around it. So Daily Joy will join us a little bit later. She set the Twitter world on fire when I tweeted out that clip. And I actually got a few DMs from people that I trust, people that I love, people at LSU. Hey, why would you tweet out something so negative about Brian Kelly? And I told one, I was like, hey, I don't think it was negative at all. I think it was fair. I don't think anything she said in that clip was truly out of line other than she – actually, I don't think any of it was really out of line. It was just her opinion. I don't think she took a personal shot. So, you know, look, I can hear out all the different NIL excuses and the 39 scholarship things because those are very valid concerns regarding LSU and the future of this program. I could hear all of that out. But there's only so far it could take you. Now, we move one step closer to the college football season. And a big point of discussion over the past couple of weeks has been the Garrett Nussmeier injury. So I made a few more phone calls today because I have heard a few national sites that may have more information than us, but oftentimes don't have as much information as what a local or everyday LSU YouTuber would have. Basically, most are concerned about the Garrett Nussmeier injury. Now, you should be somewhat concerned about it. It is something. But I heard one of my favorite college football podcasts, Cover 3, say basically, hey, I am very concerned about this Garrett Nussmeier injury. When all reports at practice has been he's looked fine, not just in the media portion of practice, but just in general. Now, why would they close off practice when they closed off practice? Well, it's simple. They weren't ready to show off Garrett Nussmeier. They were going to let this story die down a little bit and then bring the media back in. Keep in mind, the media access LSU has given is more than a lot of schools. So, you know, for me, I still listen. I still hear people have their concerns about Garrett Nussmeier. But look, the truth is there's so much outside of Garrett that you should be worried about. In fact, I would put Garrett's leg at this point probably outside my top five biggest concerns for LSU going into this game versus Clemson. Okay? Now, here's what we're going to do. There's a few other topics I want to get to, but we're going to take some of your comments. This is a very meta, I learned what that word really means, interactive show. And Harry brings up a very good point. LSU was behind in NIL until this past year. So Harry, I don't think, would mind me saying this. Harry actually put his money where his mouth is and supported LSU athletics. I like Harry, and with Harry and I's conversations, we've talked to some of the same people regarding this. He's right. And I was a very vocal critic of LSU's NIL organization last year. Thus, the Andy Staples saga from last year. But now, you know, with Harry, I want to talk about the NIL situation at LSU. It's very strong right now. Now, are we doing what Texas Tech is doing right now? No. Are we doing what Oregon's doing? No. But here's the thing about LSU is that when you take a look at their retention, their roster retention, it has been really good. There are so many guys that have been passed up that are now backups that have hung around at LSU. Caleb Jackson being a perfect example of this. Caleb Jackson would have been pursued by quite a few people if he entered the portal, because there's just not many guys that are built like that. And there would be a lot of schools that say, hey, all it takes really is a change of scenery and this kid will, you know, get all the mental stuff out of the way. But that's the thing that's holding them back. It's just the mental aspect of football, right? I think this year is going to be a nice year for him. He decides to stay at LSU because physically he is as gifted as quite a few running backs that have come through LSU. I mean, when you factor in weight and speed and all of that, really only Fournette you would consider to be the more complete package than him. But he's obviously the RB2, might be the RB3. One thing, though, I wanted to get to with Caleb tonight is normally when you have a backfield, your smaller backs are your pass-catching backs. They're the backs that are kind of the scat backs, the Darren Sproles, if you will. You have your first and second down backs, and then you have your third down backs. It might actually be the opposite. And there's a few different reasons as to why. Caleb Jackson is a good receiver. He had one crucial drop out of the backfield versus Ole Miss as a true freshman. It was crucial. But for the most part, he has been a good pass catcher out of the backfield. The UCLA game was a good example of it. And I could also say at this point, he's probably the best pass protector. Now, Caden Durham struggled as a pass protector. It's pretty normal as a true freshman. Durham is a better pass catcher than Caleb Jackson. But I could see Caleb potentially being the third down back. So I do think Caleb Jackson will be featured in this offense quite a bit, honestly. And will he be the goal line back? I don't know. I kind of would just want Caden to be the workhorse in every facet. And then I could definitely see Caleb being the third down guy. Obviously, Harlan Berry's a perfect profile for a receiving back, a smaller guy, a shifty guy. Also, his receiving highlights are just amazing in 7-on-7 situations where he would be a slot receiver for Bryce Underwood in some of these Under Armour overtime elite kind of situations. But for me, you could see a world where Caleb Jackson is your third down back. Now, next thing, let's talk about NIL. And let's talk about Austin Thomas and how much front office work LSU has done. Okay. So one thing that is kind of been lost on the changes that LSU has made in their front office is that they let a lot of popular people go this offseason and or demoted them. Some of which are former players, some of which are from former players from the Baton Rouge region. All right. And it has become way more analytically focused. Not just analytically focused, but can you actually move the needle for us to get players? Or can you help us sort out the players we need to go after? You need to answer one of those two questions. Now, this is more a comment to the young audience. And this rant is going to piss quite a few of you off, because the people we idolize the most in sports are the athletes, right? You never see anyone collecting coaching cards. I'm a sports card collector, sports card content creator. We're setting up at the Monroe Card Show this weekend. By the way, we will see you there. And here's the thing about, they do make cards of coaches. Nobody gives a damn about them. Nobody. They want player cards. But here's a good thing about a coach is that you can coach. There's no athleticism requirement for you to be a coach. None. In fact, the best coaches are oftentimes not the best athletes. Yeah, sure, you have some Steve Kerrs that were phenomenal, but most of the best coaches are role players, or they were coaches at lower levels. And you see that throughout sports, right? It's mostly role players that are great at coaches. But you can make a strong case now that the single most important person at most jobs in sports are general managers. And this past year in sports, it has been the year of the GM. It has been the year of the nerd. It has been the year of roster management. And what has happened in sports is that it is more important to not have a weak link than it is to have a very, 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 very strong link, right? Look at the NBA. Was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander the best player in the NBA? Yes, but what made the Thunder great? They were so damn deep. They were so damn deep. In fact, a friendly acquaintance who I indirectly know on the Thunder was a big contributor for him, for that team. And then he ended up getting phased out altogether when the playoffs came around because they were so damn deep, right? That team was about Sam Presti, a general manager who started 18 years ago with trade after trade after trade, making that team what it is today. What happened in the NFL this year? It was the year of the general manager. Howie Roseman. Just fleecing people, taking advantage of the Jalen Carter situation, getting out front and paying Jalen Hurts, where he ended up actually being a discount, trading for A.J. Brown, so on and so on and so on. And then obviously, one of the biggest fleeces in the history of the NFL was the Saquon Barkley deal, one of the biggest bargains ever, all right? So, will we see that in college football? The answer to that is yes. Your front office is just as important as your coaches. I will say that your front office is the second most important thing to your program behind your head coach. Because your front office is the one that are finding the quarterbacks. Your current quarterback is always the second most important thing. I could even make a case that your front office is as important as your offensive and defensive coordinator. I really do believe that. I really, really, really do believe that. Because now, it's all sports are sports of weak links. So my question for you, we have focused so much on Garrett Nussmeier. We have focused so much on Caden Durham and the Stars, Whit Weeks, and all of that. Does LSU have weak links? Yes, they do. But at this point, the thing that I really do like about LSU in this roster is that I feel as if there's only one-ish blatant weak link on this team right now. And that is offensive guard. I do think one of the offensive guard positions will solve itself because they have a lot of cooks in the kitchen at that position. So I think one of those four players will end up being a good starter. It's however that other guard will be. Now, what if the offensive tackles stink? Then you have more weaklings. I think Braylon Moore is going to be a decent center. I think a lot of you agree with that. So this year is going to be not only a Brian Kelly year. Austin Thomas got a raise. He got to build a staff. I mean, a big-ass staff. They went out and got personnel guy after personnel guy, personnel guy after personnel guy. And some of it is personnel guys to help them organize the class of 2026 and 2027. So here's the thing about that. If you are watching this stream, because we do have recruits that do watch, and I'm very fortunate to get to talk to some of those recruits. You guys still matter more than any one person that might be watching this stream right now. Okay. What I would say, though, is what if you're younger and you're not a recruit and you're watching this right now and you run a 5'5 40-yard dash and your dad is 5'6 and your mom is 5'8 and they work as insurance salesmen, another runs a movie theater, and you don't have an ounce of athleticism in your bloodstream right now. Guess what? You can affect sports as much as other people can affect sports that actually do have those genetics. I really do believe it. Because back then, you know, we tended to, maybe overrate some GMs. But now, GM, it's so important. And for me, as I went through and did a roster audit of LSU, they did a really good job piecing this together. Obviously, I am more concerned about the offensive line than most. I think it's going to be really, really, really hard to overcome. But Garrett is superhuman at avoiding sacks. So if that continues to happen, sure. But we'll see what happens. Let's go to Brambo. Any All-Americans outside of Ness on this offense? I mean, All-Americans, that's a tough bar to clear, right? I think all SEC is a better question or a better answer. And the answer to that is yes. Kaden Durham, if he's healthy, will be All-American. Tre'Davious Green has a shot as well, as does Chris Hilton, as does Aaron Anderson. Do any of these offensive linemen has a shot? Sure. I think most would say Braylon Moore, but I do want to say that it's a really good center season in the SEC. Auburn's got a good one. Alabama with Parker. Brailsford's a good player. So, you know, just keep that in mind before we go into this next season. So, sure. Sure. Let's go to Dev coming in hot. I don't think West Weeks is an SEC caliber linebacker. So, I'm going to be honest. I read that as Whit Weeks at first, and I was like, oh, but Dev, that's a scorcher. I was like, God, dog, that is hot. That is hotter than fish grease. Okay. I could see that. So West Weeks as like an actual linebacker hasn't really been that great at LSU, if we're being honest. All right. It's just not been the case. But he's older. Obviously, when it comes to chemistry, you would like to think this is the best chemistry you could possibly have between two linebackers. And I do not think West Weeks is going to start. I do not. I think it'll be Devon Keyes, Whit Weeks, and Harold Perkins. I do. But we do know Whit's going to be one of the starters. We do know Harold Perkins is going to be one of the starters. It's going to come down to Devon Keyes or West Weeks, and I do think it'll be Keyes. But I do think West will play a lot. So can he be your linebacker three, if you will, rotating as the backup for those for Witt and Keyes? Yes, he can be. I think he's good enough to do that. Very physical linebacker. I think the sideline to sideline upside is just not there with him, like it is with Witt, who, you know, that's his biggest strength. There's not a blade of grass he can't cover. So, you know, he's got that Debo Jones aspect to his game where his range is just ridiculous. That's wit. West, it's a little bit different. But do I think West can give you good snaps as a rotational linebacker? Sure. Yeah. But here's a good thing is that you have five other off-ball linebackers you brought in as true freshmen. And you have a guy that is really starting to get steamed up from people like Harry and people that go to practice every day in Tylan Singleton. Okay. So tomorrow, don't forget, we will have Mike Scarborough on the show. I'm really excited about that. I'm also pumped, and I mean pumped, to talk about some recruiting with him. I listened to a good interview, a friend of the channel, Marlon Favorite. He did one with Deuce Geralds recently. You know, I would not be shocked if Deuce Geralds ends up being the number one player for me in the entire class. That is how much I freaking love that kid. Holy crap. He is definitely the funnest watch I have seen in a long time when it comes to high school tape, at least since Whit Weeks. And he could be, in terms of being a high school football player, better than Whit Weeks, who was insane. Like, Deuce Geralds is a high-level running back in high school, and he is a defensive tackle. All right, do I need to repeat that? Do I need to repeat that about Geralds? He might be the number one player on my board. I'm serious. And that would be, normally with my rankings, I released my rankings for this past class where I go through and watch as much as their senior tape. And it's just based on them as high school prospects, nothing that they've done at camp, because that could be very unreliable. Perfect example, last year, Kanan Durham had a slow starting camp and didn't really do anything till week three. He remained my number two player on my board. And we released it. We normally release it after like a week or so into camp. But I mostly focus on what they've done as high school players, because camp reports can be misleading. Like, Deuce Geralds would be one of my boldest takes if he ends up being higher than Lamar Brown, which I don't know if I'm going to get there, because Lamar Brown is also that guy. Tristan Key is also a five-star in his own right. So we'll see. This is true from Samuel. That's a good point. They used to throw the biggest 300-pound 8-year-old at running back at Pee Wee. Not that impressive, just grown compared to the competition. But here's the thing, Samuel. You've got to actually go watch it. Like, it's not just him running guys over. I mean, he's bursting past safeties. He's making shoestring catches. And he did this as a high school sophomore. Carries. Okay, 904 Drew, you have been talking a little out of pocket. All right. Preston Guy came after you a few weeks ago, so I'm going to take it easy on you. You're saying here that Harold Perkins is better than Patrick Queen. You can't. I can't let that go. Can't let that go. Because Patrick mother effing Queen is from Livonia, and I stick up for Pointe-Coupee Parish. Patrick Queen has been a guest on PHL, and he gave us insight on the 2019 team, since, you know, you're wanting to say that this team is better than the 2019 LSU Tigers. I'm not sure if I want them to be, because if this team is better than the 2019 LSU Tigers, then everybody is going to come down here to figure out what kind of witchcraft is going down here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Now, I'm kidding. I do want the scene to be better than 2019. But here's the thing. Harold Perkins is not better than Patrick Queen. I would also say they're different players. They are different players. Harold Perkins is definitely the better pass rusher. He's definitely the better blitzer. Patrick Queen, though. Nobody can read the game like PQ. Nobody. And look, I'm not around Harold every day. I've gotten to know Patrick a little bit. I haven't talked to him really all that much. His family knows my family, because if you're from New Roads, Louisiana, you know everybody. But here's the thing. I know how hard PQ works at film study, to the point where I would highly recommend 904 Drew to go back and listen to our interview with Patrick Queen, where he broke down how he intercepted Tua. You know, if we don't intercept Tua, we might not win that game. That's, well, it didn't seal it, but it gave us a 20-point lead. So Perk can be great, but I just don't know if he's going to be like what Patrick Queen is, okay? So there you go. Yeah, I've already done a film review on Deuce Gerald. It's not a deep one, but there's no need to go deep on Gerald. That's the biggest pause of all time. There's no need until the senior tape comes out, okay? Oh, God. All right. Before we get to this next guest, okay, she got me into some trouble. She did. She doesn't know this because I don't talk to her a whole lot, but she starts this brand, and it's an awesome brand. You're going to love it. But I tweet out a clip. I thought it was an innocent clip. I'll play it for you right now before we get her on here. None other than the world famous Daily Drip.
I'm not Brian Kelly's biggest fan. I don't keep that a secret. I was very much against the hire.
Why were you against the hire?
Because he has experience not being able to win when it really matters. And if we want someone that can win but doesn't win when it matters, we could have saved some money and hired James Franklin.
Guys, I don't know why you're acting like that.
I did what Brian Kelly asked me to do. He said judge him after 3 years, and I did it. And I was not impressed with the product. With that being said, I feel like...
Are you missing that sweet swing? If pain is holding your golf game back, you must check out the full simulator at the Lafayette location of LaBorde Therapy Center. Yes, Chase and his team built this simulator to go along with a full set of programs catered to your needs. Yes, this entire team at LaBorde Therapy worked hard to fix that back. Your elbow, shoulders, wrists, knees, toes, it doesn't matter. At their Lafayette location, 337-981-4053. Call today. But what if you don't golf? And what if you don't live in Lafayette? No problem. They fix anything therapy related. Book today, LaBoardTherapy.com, with locations in Carncrow, Youngsville, Morgan City, and Crowley. LaBoardTherapy.com. LaBorde Therapy.com. Alrighty, the world famous Daily Joy, one of the best first time appearances in the history of PHL, rocking the SEC pretty hat. How's life for you, buddy?
Life is great. I'm currently in a common space in my apartment complex because I just moved into a big unit and don't have internet yet. Because I needed more room because SEC Pretty is overflowing my small apartment. So we had to get a bigger one. But yeah, life's good. Football's soon. And you know, I haven't made anyone mad recently on social media. So it was about time I was due to show up here and make some people mad again.
Yeah, I did one because I was like, okay, this is spicy Brian Kelly take. Let me tweet it out. And I was like, oh God, staffer's like, what the hell are you doing? You're trying to burn a bridge with me right now. What's going on? I was like, no, it's a compelling.
It's so funny that you say that because I had more staffers follow me after that clip came out than ever before. So I won't name names, but
yeah, please don't.
We made some friends.
Well, yeah. Look, let me ask you this. Has your opinion on him changed, or do you still feel the exact same way going into this?
No, I am someone that judges the product you put on the field. I don't care what you say in press conferences. I don't care what you have to say to the media. I don't care how much fire and audacity you have when you walk in to speak to anybody. I judge you by the product that you put on the field. That's what you told me to do. I am only doing what you asked me to do. And I will continue to do that until you give me a product that is worthy of me applauding what you have done so far. If you want a round of applause for what you did in the portal, congratulations. But here's the deal. That's your job. Like, you should have gone in the portal and gotten good guys. You should have a good recruiting class. you have more talent in your backyard than arguably any other coach in America. Like, those are things that you should be doing. And let me make something clear. Those are things that previous coaches have also done. So I'm not impressed with that until you hold a trophy over your head and have something to show for it.
What's your biggest concern through spring, or not spring, through fall practice up to this point?
The offensive line, which I feel like is what most people's concern was. If you have any kind of awareness of, you know, who we lost in the NFL draft last season, obviously reports coming out about fall camp are we're still struggling with like the false start situations, things of that nature. That was already concerning me because of just the sheer talent and maturity that you lost in the offseason. And then now, you know, there's a little bit of concern there. But yeah, I mean, if we can solve that, I'm less fearful than I am of any other season we've had so far under Brian Kelly. But
check out our brand, secpretty.com. Love the entrepreneurial spirit here. You know, for me, Daly, I go back and I was listening to some of your appearance from the last time and saw some of your tweets from earlier. It seems as if you feel comfortable about Garrett and all the hubbaloo over the past week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I was first of all, like, I take Twitter for exactly what it is, and it is a website that gives anyone a means to have an opinion. So yeah. I take that for what that is. I let people run wild and rampant with whatever they want to. And I really listen to people that I trust. I have enough friends that work in this space. And if something so insane as Garrett Nussmeier tearing his LCL would have actually happened, I would have known about it. And so whenever it was all happening and everyone was freaking out, I was like, okay, everyone just calm down. Like, when someone that I like, that's really trusted, comes out and says like, we have a legitimate problem with Nuss, then like, let's all freak out. I will give Brian Kelly credit. I was impressed with how he just came out straight to the media and said like, this is what's going on. This is the issue. And then when he's like, I don't even know what leg it is. Like, that should really show you how not severe of an issue this is moving forward.
Yeah.
So yeah, I trust Garrett Nussmeier. I trust Brian Kelly, to have him ready to go, and be ready for week one at Clemson.
Your prediction on this game is what at this juncture?
I still don't know. Like, and that's just the reality of it. And I understand that's a cop out. I think if someone held a gun to my head and said, pick somebody right now, I'm going LSU. For a couple of reasons. I do think Garrett Nussmeier is better than Clay Klubnik. If LSU loses this game, that will get clipped without a shadow of a doubt, which is fine. That's the risk that you take when you do this. And I don't have any issues standing on what I said. But I tend to lean Garrett Nussmeier in this situation. He has played, I think, in the bigger games. Like, he's played in bigger moments. I don't know that Clemson really had a game last year that was even comparative to like LSU Ole Miss. Like, there's situations that Garrett has shown up and really showed out for me, to where I tend to trust him more with the ball in his hands. I also just think, from what we're hearing, the way that the offense is like clicking on all cylinders, I'm not sure that Clemson's defense is going to be able to hang. And I understand that a lot of people are like, well, this is like an old school Clemson team, and they're, you know, like, they're going back to be like this really defensive powerhouse. And I'm like, their defense has not looked even close or remotely to the same as it was since Venables left. Like, I don't think that loss as a staff member has been appreciated enough. In the way that Clemson has, I don't want to say Clemson's fallen off, but like, this was a Clemson team that for years we were talking about was a national championship contender. That's no longer being talked about. And a big part of that is how much their defense has fallen off. And I think that is because you lost a defensive mastermind in Brenton Venables.
Yeah. And
I don't know that they're going to be able to replicate that defense or get something close enough that will be able to stop what I think Garrett Nussmeier and this offense is prepared to do this season.
Yeah, I would push back a little on Cade being in big spots. I think he's been in some big spots, but I do agree that Garrett's played tougher defenses. So I'm with you on that. Do you buy into, you look at Clemson, they've not necessarily been great in season openers. They've struggled versus the SEC. overall, do you buy into any of that? And do you think LSU fans are just so focused on us losing five consecutive games?
Yeah, I mean, it's never great to lose week one. Like, I'll just say that for what it is. And it is frustrating. I think LSU fans have probably put a little bit more stock in it because we're a frustrated fan base. Like, that is what it is. You're a fan base who believes that year in and year out, you should be contending for national championships. And so when you're not, and then the season rolls around and week one, you're losing to teams. And here's the deal. There were some teams that, like, if you really look back on it, I don't have an issue losing to Florida State. Like, I don't. They should have been a playoff team. You know, if they don't lose their quarterback, they're in the college football playoff. So I have less of an issue losing to a school like Florida State. If I'm being really honest with y'all, I will have less of an issue losing to a school like Clemson. I did have a bigger issue losing to a school like USC, and I did have a bigger issue losing to a school like UCLA. I think it's okay to really look at, like, the teams that you're playing and saying, like, okay, yeah, that many in a row is concerning. And it's a very easy narrative to just buy into, like, oh my gosh, they can't win season openers. I understand that. And I understand as an LSU fan believing that you should go undefeated every single year and win a natty every single year. That's not realistic. Yeah. So I've always looked at the opponents that we played. Losing USC, completely unacceptable. Using UCLA a few years ago, completely unacceptable. The Florida State losses, I'm a little bit more okay with. Going into Clemson, I understand LSU fans are very confident because of everything that you're hearing in the offseason. This will not be a cakewalk in any way, shape, or form. Like, if you think that it is, you're just not paying attention. I've been to games at Clemson. It's not Tiger Stadium. It's not going to be as loud. It's not going to be as intimidating. With that being said, look, I have no issue saying that. I have been in that Death Valley. I will call it that Death Valley. I'm not going to get in a war over who's Death Valley, but I have been in that Death Valley in major games. Like, I have been there. I have experienced them playing games that they could not afford to lose. Like, I've been there. And I have been in Tiger Stadium. And those environments are not comparable. I'm sorry. Like, they're not. And I would say that I've had this conversation with Clemson fans. I'm sure this will get clipped. I cannot wait. That's my own personal opinion. I firmly believe and stand on that. With that being said, don't hear what I'm not saying. This isn't going to be a cakewalk.
No.
Like, they want to win just as badly as LSU wants to win. They feel like they've had a fall off just like LSU's had a fall off. These are two frustrated programs that feel like they have something to prove week one.
Daily Joy is our guest. Yeah. Here's what I would say, because when you said the Death Valley remarks, in the back of my mind, I was like, well, Daily Joy is probably, of anyone that does content that's an LSU fan, the most vocal critic. That's why the title of the video is this. And you're fearless about it. You don't mind. But I do think you probably applauded him for saying Death Valley Junior about Clemson.
I didn't, but here's why.
Okay.
Here's the deal. Just hear me out. If I'm just being really real and really honest with you, it gives me, like, come on down here in your sissy blue shirt vibes. That's what that gave me. And you haven't won a season opener since you got here. So maybe just shut up until you win one. Because if I see you banging a water bottle on a table in a press conference saying, we're talking about the same thing, we talk about the same thing year after year after year, after you ran your mouth in the offseason, and then you're the same coach that at the end of last season was saying, we're keeping receipts, we'll see you in the natty. Like, just let your play, let the program that you're building, let these athletes that you are, like, let them do the talking for you. Like, I just am over the nonsensical BS in the offseason and then losing week one. The good news is, and LSU fans, you are thrilled to hear this, even though we will all melt down if we lose to Clemson week one. The best part about the college football playoff being larger is that you can lose week one and still win a national championship. Well, you can lose whatever week Ohio State lost to Michigan and still win a national championship. So losing to Clemson is not a make or break in terms of this season. what it will do is get this fan base riled up very early in the belief that yet again, BK can't do it.
But you're not ready to give a prediction.
I mean, I said if I held a gun to my head, I'm picking LSU.
There you
go. If you hold a gun to my head, I'm picking the Tigers.
I'll be honest, and it's already gotten some people. I'm picking Clemson. I'm picking Clemson to win.
The good news is that it doesn't make or break your season. Like, it doesn't, yeah, and that's okay. Yeah. I do think that there's this I can't imagine the level of pressure that these guys are.
Oh, she got muted.
No, I was just another SEC pretty sale flying in. That's what it was right there.
Had to have been.
That's it.
But yeah, I think these guys have heard it. I think they're tired of hearing it. I'm hoping that encourages them to come in and play with some fire. And you know, I hope Death Valley Jr. is exactly what we proved. Like, I hope we proved that case. But I am just not willing to sit here and applaud trash talk when you haven't won a season opener since you started at LSU. I can't get on board with that.
Well, you're Miss SEC Pretty. Once again, I want to promote you because I like the hats. They look cool. SEC Pretty.
Thank you.
.com. So you cover the entire SEC. I need the Daily Joy hot SEC take right now.
Hot SEC take. Oh, God.
It could be anything. It could be South Carolina's overvalued. It could be Georgia's going 8-4. It could be Missouri's going 11-1 because their schedule is so soft. It could be anything.
This is hard. I haven't actually thought about this one. I think that Florida could be a major letdown.
Letdown. Okay.
I think they could be a major letdown. Now, with that being said, they could also be like a major incredible story. Like, let me say that. But I think the thing about Napier is that you now have your quarterback. And last year there was this like back and forth of like, is Graham Mertz the guy? Is Lagway the guy? And then you figure out Lagway's the guy, but it's like kind of too late. But like, he saved you the locker room. Like, you didn't have this mass exodus because the guys love you and they enjoyed playing for you. And then you figured it out. I'm a little worried about Lagway's health. Obviously in the offseason, like, it's come out that there were some injuries, which this is the season of everyone, like, an injury comes out every day about a different program. We saw that happen last week with us. Like, we understand that there are social media rumors and things of that nature. However, you just got hurt last year. He started getting healthy and ready to play really like towards the beginning of the summer. So hasn't had as much time to really prepare for this season versus a Garrett Nussmeier who, you know, had all offseason to get ready. And then, you know, obviously has already been majorly injured once. When that happens, I'm always a little bit more skeptical about your health being able to play. Let's be honest, Florida also has a gauntlet. Like, they don't have an easy schedule in any way, shape, or form. And I think there's a lot at stake right now for Florida. I think a lot of people are thinking like, okay, with Lagway, this should be Napier's year to really prove that he was the guy for the job. And he kind of got bailed out last year with the injuries. So I think this could be a letdown year for them if Lagway doesn't perform to the level that they are anticipating.
Is there anything on the schedule matrix here when you look at it? Is there any other SEC thing? Because your college football mind is vast. Is there anything else that just stands out to you? I mean, for me, Daly, I just can't get there with Oklahoma.
There's a lot of hype around them right now that I'm not really understanding, if I'm going to be honest with you.
But let me ask you this. Are your Venmo receipts public?
They are public, and you have at them, because there's nothing in there that's getting me in trouble, that's for sure.
But do you believe he's lying, though? Do you believe?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. He's lying. I mean, like, you're not. Oh, no, I wasn't sports betting, but I sent the Venmo the day after the game. Like, what? Like, come on. I just, I don't understand in the year of our Lord 2025 how, like, y'all aren't thinking about things. Like, what is wrong with you people?
If you don't know, John Mateer's Venmo receipts were public, and it said sports betting from 2022. And last I checked, he is not related to Michael Porter Jr.
He's not.
Last I checked, he does not have a Chinese interpreter, so he's not going to be able to finagle his way out of this one. But he did.
No, his statement was pretty much like, I'm guilty, but I have to say that I'm not guilty.
Right.
So yeah, I don't believe it for 1 second.
I thought about you recently because I was listening to a college football podcast, and the thing that's very underrated. And this is why I was going to have you on before the season. I was like, I gotta hit up my friend Daily Joy. Is that I'm hearing the Penn State hype. I'm hearing it nonstop. And the thing that nobody mentions about the Brian Kelly clip heard around the world when PHO went viral on Twitter was the shot on my fellow light skinned brethren, the Vanderbilt Razor. The shot of the man who couldn't complete a single pass to a wide receiver in a college football playoff game. You took a big shot at James Franklin. And now, oh my goodness, I see these college football experts. Not only Penn State winning the national championship, they have him as the number one overall seed. Daly, talk some sense into the public here about the Penn State fail Lions.
Like, for me, I just genuinely don't understand. I don't know what more people need to see. Like, genuinely. And I say that wholeheartedly. Like, I don't know what else you have to see to wrap your brain around the fact that, like, James Franklin is not the guy. I don't understand. I didn't understand it going into last season, and they always are hyped. Like, it's, and then they make the playoff, and everyone's like, now's the time. And I'm like, guys, did y'all watch the college football playoff? Did we watch the same thing? What on earth makes you think? I remember, okay, when Drew Aller said he was coming back, I quoted that and I said, this is the biggest win in James Franklin's career. And I still stand by that.
Yeah.
And it's still not going to win him anything that matters. It's not. It's not going to win him anything that matters because James Franklin isn't capable of doing it. He's not. He has had more than enough time at Penn State. They have more than enough resources. If Marcus Freeman can recruit the way that he does at Notre Dame, James Franklin has zero excuse.
Zero excuse. Zero.
So the only thing I know to say to media is, I understand that their alumni base might pay some of your bills, but I am begging you to grow a pair and just shut up about Penn State because it's never going to happen.
Oh my God. It's so funny because they're like, Carter, you know, they got Traber Pena or whatever. I'm just like, I'm not going to rely on a receiver with the name Traber. Traber. Well, I mean, what is that?
What
Trebor? Well, he's from Syracuse. I don't give a damn. Put him numbers in the ACC.
That makes it even worse. He's from Syracuse.
But look, I do think, you know, when you lose Abdul Carter, who might be the best pass rusher in the NFL this year, it's a big deal. And then I lose, obviously, Tyler Warren, where, you know, come on, he's Tyler freaking Warren. I understand that they're still experienced and they're still strong. And it might be like one of these, you know, you lose Devin White, but you still have Patrick Queen and Jacob Phillips. He might still be fine.
Right.
I understand the roster on paper looks good, but like, I'm always just going to pick Ohio State or Michigan until it's not them. And if I don't pick I'm going to pick Oregon. Like, even with Dante Moore being a question mark. But before we skedaddle, once again, SECPurdy.com. You become a friend of mine. I want to blow your stuff up. I got to get my wife a hat.
Appreciate that.
She's into fashion and all that stuff.
Just DM me your address. I got you.
Ah, really? Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Okay. You're going to hate me forever, and you're never going to want to jump on this channel again. Okay, so you
not likely.
Okay. You promise you won't just cancel me for what I'm about to tell you. You promise?
Yeah, I'm promise.
I would need an Arkansas one.
That's fine.
Okay.
I don't believe in cancel culture.
Okay, good.
Here's what I did.
I'm one of those house divided people.
Here's the problem.
I'm not lame enough to have the license plate, but
I understand. Here's the deal: when you decide to create a brand and build a brand built around a conference, you do tend to have to put your hatreds aside, because it's business. So, there's an A&M hat on my website, and if you know me or follow me on Twitter for 2 seconds, you know how I feel about Texas A&M. So
that is so funny. But yeah, Daily Joy, keep up the good work with SECPrint.com. Thank you for. You see, I've done shows in like hotel lobbies and stuff like that. For you to do this in your apartment lobby. Is there someone at like the front desk listening to you do
this? No, it's closed. So we have like a common area where like people that work from home can come work. And so it's pretty quiet. There were some people yelling in the gym, and I was like, can you all just be quiet? Like, if you're that angry because you're at the gym, you just don't go. Just go home, eat dinner, watch a movie.
Well, I wouldn't care. It would depend what kind of weightlifting they were doing or whatever.
We don't have that many weights. Like, I live in a bougie gym. I live in a bougie complex. Like, none of these people are really working out in here. They're all going to take like
just taking this
Pilates classes and stuff. Yeah, they're literally in there just to say they went.
Now, I do have a shorts editor, so I got to go through which clip to get people pissed off the most from everything you just said. So I'm gonna find, and I'm gonna repay you with you sending me a golden boot hat here, an Arkansas Razorback hat. My wife does wear a hat quite a bit, and she is going to love it because she is SEC Pretty. Daily Joy, SECPretty.com. And you're going to be doing like Twitter content. What else you got going on?
Yeah, I'll do Twitter content. I'm actually was originally going to do, we were going to do a whole show. I've decided to kind of axe that mainly because SEC Pretty took off the way that it did. I literally cannot manage it all, plus traveling. I am going to 14 straight college football games, so I'll be at a college football game every week in a college football season. Only two of those won't be SEC games, but I will be doing a segment on another show, basically live from every game that I'm at.
So
it'll be really cool. Some more details about that will be coming out soon, but yeah, that I was like, I can commit to 10 minutes at a venue I'm already at versus like a whole show that felt really aggressive. So
dang, that's a life. Cause like I talk about this with like other YouTubers and all of that. I talk, my buddy is like National Fox Sports Radio, and I talked to him earlier, and it's like the worst is doing post game shows, where I love doing post game shows. I love being in the studio and all that, but it's so hard to go to games. And yes. I'm so jealous of you because you're actually getting to actually go to games, which is all part of this damn thing.
I was not, last year I went to 10 and, I was 10. Like,
nice.
Yeah. I was seeing games last year, and I remember looking back and being like, if I would have just gone to 4 more, I would have gone to a game every weekend. And so I committed to myself. Like, I was like, I'm just going to do it. And like people think that I get paid and all of this. I'm like, guys, I have a full-time job. Like, I just do this out of my own pocket because this is how much I love college football. So like, I don't get paid to go to games or any of that nature. This is just all like fun for me. But yeah, I committed to go to 14 games and then decided that it was time to get in a relationship. So, and my boyfriend's like, oh, okay, I'll never see you during college football season.
I'm
like,
okay. Crap. Okay.
So, see you in January.
So the boyfriend's not going, you're just going.
No, he'll go to a few with me. But,
okay, good.
He'll go to a couple, but
I would be jealous as hell. I couldn't face all my homeboys and be like, yeah, you know, like the most awesome thing in the world. Yeah, my girlfriend is getting to do all of it without me.
No, he's going to a few. I'm taking him to Georgia, Tennessee, at Tennessee, which will be a great game. And then
that's gonna be fire.
Well, he's going to see violence. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to go to an Ole Miss game. We're going to go to we're going to A&M LSU, so that'll be the LSU game that I go to. So yeah, he'll get to catch a couple good ones. So
is Oxford over or underrated?
This might be my hottest take I've said the whole show. It's insanely underrated.
Underrated.
I have fallen in love with Oxford, Mississippi. I called my dad and told my dad that it was a really good thing that he did not let me visit Ole Miss before I went to college, because I probably wouldn't have gone to LSU.
Why would you say it's underrated? Because most everyone that jumps on here says overrated.
I think it is the epitome of like a Hallmark small town.
True.
It is like very idealistic. Now, I think I'm saying Oxford as a town is underrated. I don't know that I necessarily think like their campus is underrated. The Grove is like the size of my apartment. Like that thing is small.
It's not. Yeah.
So the idea, like, I understand I don't understand Ole Miss fans being like, oh, our tailgating is just as good. I'm like, you don't compete because you don't even compare. Like this is not a competition. Like it's very, very small. I think Oxford is absolutely adorable. It's clean, it's well kept, it's beautiful. It's in a very good location. I love Oxford, and I'm reading a comment that says it's the poorest state in the US. They fake rich tailgates. Well, just tell me you've never driven through the Oxford Country Club without telling me you've never driven through the Oxford Country Club.
There's money. There's
those mansions are very real.
No, like there's top end dollar there for sure.
No, all the here's the deal. It is the poorest state, but all their money is in Oxford. Like that's just the reality of the situation.
Robert agrees.
Thank you, Robert.
Pierce says Oxford is literally rusting.
That is insulting because you can buy alcohol in Oxford and you cannot do that in Ruston. So checkmate.
No, you can't. No. Wait, no, you could buy alcohol.
No, Ruston is a dry parish.
No, you can buy it now.
Since when?
It's been a while. I guarantee you, I go to Ruston all the time. You can buy alcohol there.
I just remember when you had to drive to like the line.
Yes,
the bar was like right there. All my friends in college went to Louisiana Tech.
So Pierce lives in Ruston, so he can overrule me here. Two quick ones. What type of podcast do you listen to?
Everything, honestly. Like obviously college football, but if I'm being really honest with you, I'm pretty picky about college football podcasts, mainly because everyone and their mom has one, and I'm not going to waste my time listening to people that don't know ball and don't know what they're talking about. I also won't listen to like insanely biased shows. Like if I get on your show and all you're doing is talking about like how great your school is, I'm not listening. I want to hear why your school is going to struggle. Like, let's be real and honest for a minute. So love a good college football podcast. And then I am a girl, so I love a good true crime podcast. Love hearing how people can dispose of bodies and stuff like that.
There we go. That's it. Oh my goodness. When I messaged you last night, I said, don't listen to last night's show.
Oh, is that what the question was? Yes.
Okay. Because I leave my show last night and I was like, okay, I'm going to go do a few like fantasy drafts on my phone. And then I listened to my wife's podcast and she made some delicious tilapia. So it was a fun trade-off, but I hear, and the suspect had a smiley face carved in her leg. And I'm like, that is the last thing that I want to listen to.
I can listen to I can't watch a football game and then go to sleep. Like I'm too worked up. I can listen to like the most gory crime scene podcast and it like put me to sleep. Like it's
How?
I'm probably not like mentally stable. That's probably what it is, if we're being real. Like I don't have any issue admitting that.
Oh my goodness. And Here's one thing I'll push back on. Okay. And they, like we become friends. I can't wait to meet you one day. And thank you for all the hot takes and interesting stuff. But you shitting on North Louisiana. Oh my God. No, I mean, my goodness gracious. Just shit all over the place. It's a mess.
I'm not sorry.
Why? Yeah, I know. But here's the thing that I don't want you to say sorry because you don't back down. That's why the freaking title of this video is the most fearless LSU critic. So look, I've got partners in North Louisiana. I'm going to do a PHO meetup this weekend in Funroe, Louisiana. And then I did one a few weeks ago in Shreveport. So I want you to look into the eyes of everybody in North Louisiana, explain why you hate, why you just despise their souls so very much.
Okay, let's be clear. I don't despise the people in North Louisiana. I just despise the territory. Actually, that's not entirely true because my mother lives there. Yeah, that's like probably the biggest reason. So I was born in North Louisiana, lived there until I was six, and then we moved to Baton Rouge. And I always say I was raised in Baton Rouge because like most of my upbringing happened in Baton Rouge. We did move back to Shreveport when my parents divorced, and I graduated high school in Shreveport, Evangel Christian Academy, same high school as Jacob Hester. Shout out to the E. Did love my high school. But there is such a cultural difference, and like having gone from like Baton Rouge where I could like walk to a gas station and eat really good food. And then I like went to North Louisiana and had alligator at a restaurant, and it was the most disgusting thing I've ever eaten in my entire life. And I still remember that to this day. And I was like 14. Wow. It's not a place that has great memories. And that's really why I don't like Shreveport. I went back this year, if that's Samuel Militello, I'm pretty sure you went to Evangel with my brother, Jaden. I went back. My cousin graduated from Byrd, so I went back this year and went to that graduation. But I have zero desire. Like, we talk about it all the time. If I never went back to Shreveport, outside of the fact that, like, my brother lives there, so I go and visit and stuff of that nature. But, I would be okay. I love Evangel. I love Evangel with all of my heart. If you want to crap on Evangel in the comments and say it's the white trash of Shreveport, then you can go right ahead with more state championships than all of your schools combined. But I loved Evangel. It was the saving grace of Shreveport for me. But, yeah, no, it. Anyone that like voluntarily lives there, seek therapy.
Jason. Oh my goodness.
You need help.
What Ralph is playing 1-3 at the horseshoe listening to my show right now, and he's throwing his chips down in disgust at you daily.
Joy. And the horseshoe of all play. Like that says everything we need to know. The horseshoe.
What is wrong? You just no.
No grace.
There's no holds bar. This is just insane. Oh my goodness. That is one great note to end on. Daily, I really do think you have a bright future in media.
Thank you so much.
You're gonna have 20,000 gazillion more subscribers, and I want you to be uniquely yourself. Once again, secpretty.com. You could also follow her. What is it? Daily F Joy, right?
Or Daily Joy F.
Daily Joy F. Please go give her a follow. And the 14-game tour. So do you have the list of all the...
I do. I'm not publicizing it strictly because I'm doing this by myself. So as a girl, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to tell, you know, the whole world where you're going for 14 straight weekends.
Yeah, yeah.
Just trying to be wise about it. But week one, I will be in Columbus. So I'm going to Texas, Ohio State week one.
So are you, let me ask you this, I guess if you do that, you got to go to game day, right? I mean, you got to go. I mean, that's.
Yeah. I mean, I'll go mainly just because it's like, you have to go say bye to Lee.
It's the biggest game day ever.
You have to go say bye to Lee. So I will go and say goodbye. And honestly, it's just one of those cool moments to be like, I was there.
like when he said bye. But it's also like an earlier game, so I'll be up and like moving early. But yeah, I mean, I'll go to game day. I want to get the full experience. Like the whole reason I'm going to 14 straight games is to experience 14 straight like game day environments that I haven't been to. Everyone's like, are you just following LSU? I'm like, no, what fun would that be? Like I've done that. So yeah, I'll go to game day. I'll experience everything Columbus has to offer. And then I'll go home and unpack a suitcase and repack a suitcase and get ready for the next week.
Daily, we appreciate you. And we'll have you on again pretty soon.
Thank you for having me, Carter. I always enjoy it.
No, thank you so much. Daily Joy. Please go give her a follow on Twitter. All right. I do have to skedaddle. I have another appearance. I will be on No Chill Sports right now. And then I'll be on Blake Ruffino's show at 7:35. And we're probably going to fight. We kind of did earlier on the phone. Okay. We will edit some of Daily Joy's clips to get everybody at LSU mad at me. She said it actually made her fans in the building. And I was the one, I wasn't the one that said it. And people were mad at me. Please, if you haven't done so already, there's 205 of you allegedly in here. YouTube tells me it's like 70, 75, whatever. Please go vote. It is free. Screenshot your vote for the Acadiana's best physical therapy center, Labor Therapy. Please do it because it helps me out in a major way. AS! Power out. LSU. Boom! Tomorrow night, the great Mike Scarborough, the godfather of LSU recruiting. Coverage will join us. And tonight, oh yeah, we got to do the Super Chat shout outs. Blanche Joy named the five Tiger Bros. Five Tiger Bros. What is that? That's Clemson, Missouri, Auburn, Jackson State, and I don't know. Also, if you want to see me like looking like Travis Kelce, go to twitter.com/PowerHourLSU. See you in a bit. Let's go. Tonight.